So hello everybody and welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here again for another week of Turning Towards Life. And it's a delight to see you, Lizzie, and a delight to be doing this together. I want to welcome all of you who are here with us, as we always do. There's me and you, Lizzie, and then there are circles and circles of people around us on podcasts, finding us on our website, on Facebook, on YouTube, and you're all so welcome wherever you are in the world. And we know you are. We are a very widely geographically spread group, and whenever you find your way to this, you're very welcome to be with us. And if you want to find out more, turningtowards.life is the place that all of these conversations are hosted, and you can find a number of ways of supporting this project here, which is always such a delight to us if people do this. And you can also contact us there and sign up for our weekly email, where you'll get all the sources and all the conversations directly into your inbox. And I also want to say, as we come to the end of 2025, that we've got some exciting things planned from Third Space in 2026, including the launch of our next year's professional coaching course and our Foundations of Coaching program in February. And you can always find out more there at wearethirdspace.org. And we'd love to welcome you into conversation with us, and maybe we'll get to meet you one day. And today, as we come right towards the end of 2025, we have a really marvelous, rich, exciting, moving source that you've brought us, Lizzie, and saying hello to you and thank you for bringing this to us.
Thank you, Justin. You can find the source of this episode and all others either in the show notes or on our turningtowards.life webpage, as Justin was just saying. And on turningtowards.life, you can also sign up to receive us weekly in your inbox, which is very cool. So please do head over and have a look. So this source is called Love Letter from the Afterlife by Andrea Gibson. And the background of this is that, Justin, you and I have seen this wonderful film called Come See Me in the Good Light, which is a kind of documentary film about Andrea and their partner, Meg. And it's an extraordinary film about love and illness and preciousness and ordinariness and healing and death. And it moved me so much to watch it and to feel it all. And it really kind of cracked me open. And this piece of writing is something that I found after I watched the film. And it's a most generous gift from Andrea to those left behind, and it feels like it has everything in it for me. So I wanted to bravely bring it here, even though it's so moving to me. It's sometimes hard to even put into language what this is, but I thought that we could be brave and have a go, Justin, and see what it's like to feel it together and to talk like this. So this is Love Letter from the Afterlife by Andrea Gibson. My love, I was so wrong. Dying is the opposite of leaving. When I left my body, I did not go away. That portal of light was not a portal to elsewhere, but a portal to here. I am more here than I ever was before. I am more with you than I ever could have imagined. So close, you look past me when wondering where I am. It's okay. I know that to be human is to be far-sighted, but feel me now, walking the chambers of your heart, pressing my palms to the soft walls of your living. Why did no one tell us that to die is to be reincarnated in those we love while they are still alive? Ask me the altitude of heaven and I will answer, how tall are you? In my back pocket is a love note with every word you wish you'd said. At night I sit ecstatic at the loom, weaving forgiveness into our worldly regrets. All day I listen to the radio of your memories. Yes, I know every secret you thought too dark to tell me, and love you more for everything you feared might make me love you less. When you cry, I guide your tears toward the garden of kisses I once planted on your cheek, so you know they're all perennials. Forgive me for not being able to weep with you. One day you will understand. One day you will know why I read the poetry of your grief to those waiting to be born, and they are all the more excited. There is nothing I want for now that we are so close. I open the curtain of your eyelids with my own smile every morning. I wish you could see the beauty your spirit is right now making of your pain, your deep-seated fears playing musical chairs, laughing about how real they are not. My love, I want to sing it through the rafters of your bones. Dying is the opposite of leaving. I want to echo it through the corridor of your temples. I am more with you than I ever was before. Do you understand? It was me who beckoned the stranger who caught you in her arms when you forgot not to order for two at the coffee shop. It was me who was up all night, gathering sunflowers into your chest the day you feared you would never again wake up feeling lighthearted. I know it's hard to believe, but I promise it's the truth. I promise one day you will say it too. I can't believe I ever thought I could lose you.
Thank you, Lizzie. Struck me whilst you were reading, there is an amazing film of Andrea reading this, which we'll post a link to in the show notes as well, so you can hear us and you can hear Andrea. This is Love Letter from the Afterlife. My love, I was so wrong. Dying is the opposite of leaving. When I left my body, I did not go away. That portal of light was not a portal to elsewhere, but a portal to here. I am more here than I ever was before. I am more with you than I ever could have imagined. So close, you look past me when wondering where I am. It's okay. I know that to be human is to be far-sighted, but feel me now, walking the chambers of your heart, pressing my palms to the soft walls of your living. Why did no one tell us that to die is to be reincarnated in those we love whilst they are still alive? Ask me the altitude of heaven and I will answer, how tall are you? In my back pocket is a love note with every word you wish you'd said. At night, I sit ecstatic at the loom, weaving forgiveness into our worldly regrets. All day I listen to the radio of your memories. Yes, I know every secret thought, every secret you thought too dark to tell me, and love you more for everything you feared might make me love you less. When you cry, I guide your tears toward the garden of kisses I once planted on your cheek, so you know they are all perennials. Forgive me for not being able to weep with you. One day you will understand. One day you will know why I read the poetry of your grief to those waiting to be born, and they are all the more excited. There's nothing I want for now that we are so close. I open the curtain of your eyelids with my own smile every morning. I wish you could see the beauty your spirit is right now making of your pain, your deep-seated fears playing musical chairs, laughing about how real they are not. My love, I want to sing it through the rafters of your bones. Dying is the opposite of leaving. I want to echo it through the corridor of your temples. I'm more with you than I ever was before. Do you understand? It was me who beckoned the stranger who caught you in her arms when you forgot not to order for two at the coffee shop. It was me who was up all night gathering sunflowers into your chest the last day you feared you would never again wake up feeling lighthearted. I know it's hard to believe, but I promise it's the truth. I promise one day you will say it too. I can't believe I ever thought I could lose you.
Thank you, Justin. My goodness, it's so extraordinary, this outpouring of truthful, heartfelt ordinariness. And this time, Justin, as you read it to me, I feel really moved by this line. One day you will know why I read the poetry of your grief to those waiting to be born, and they are all the more excited. I'm not sure I know how to say what's going on there, but I'm going to have a go. For me, it's this feeling or knowing that grief and love are not different things. And so feeling into the ones waiting to be born, hearing the story of grief and them being excited. It's like before we were born, we knew what we were signing up for. And we had been told. There were the Andreas reading to us, saying, this is what life is made of. And we wanted to come. We wanted to be this kind of exposed, this kind of vulnerable, this kind of particular being that is a human being. When I feel Andrea's words and the gift of it, of course, she's saying the afterlife is the before life. It's where we go when we don't have a body anymore, and it's where we were before we had a body, and it's some kind of place where we get told what this is somehow. And just in the feeling of this and the articulating it now, Justin, I'm encountering somehow like a deeper understanding or a deeper knowing or a deeper feeling of the beauty and the truth of this. And as you were reading, I felt myself kind of longing to have this available to me from anyone that I would be grief-filled if they went, basically because I love them. I would grieve for them, and I would want them to be here, and there would be a way that we were still connected because this was true. And it's so tender, and it's so, you know, we've spoken so many times, Justin, about how our culture is not one of feeling and acknowledging anything to do with death. And as I sit and I feel it, and that's what happened when I watched that film as well. It's so real. It's so present in every single moment of our lives that this is true. This is a possibility. And we said yes to all of this by coming here and being humans. We said yes to this. Sometimes I feel crazy game of life where it is inevitable. This is inevitable. This is unavoidable. This is the truth of everything all the time. And yet somehow we pretend that it isn't. And I pretend that it isn't all the time. And then I come into touch with this and I'm going, my goodness, of course, this is just absolutely true all the time. And it's so vulnerable. And this is what it's all made of. So I'm so grateful for Andrea having the kind of heart and the kind of language and the kind of contactfulness that allows those two things to be connected so that we can receive this and feel it in our everyday and let it infuse our lives, let it be how we live, is how we hold this truth that she's telling us, that they're telling us.
An amazing moment in the film, Lizzie, where Andrea and Meg are about to open an email which has an update on Andrea's condition, and it's going to tell them a lot about how long they expect Andrea to live, and they don't know before they open it whether it's going to be 6 months or 3 weeks. Mm. And it's an extraordinary intimate moment that they were glad to have the documentary crew there with them right at this moment. And I remember being very touched by the a couple of things at that point. One is Andrea talking about what it was like to be filled with so much feeling. There's a very sort of straightforward conversation about feelings between them. Undramatic, but very real. And Andrea talks about being filled with fear and hope and love. And but then the other thing Andrea says is it's a sort of moment of great relief in a way. Andrea says, we're all going to have this. Like, I'm not the only one who is going to have the moment where I find out that I'm ill, that I'm dying. It's everyone's. And one of the, you know, one of the strange things about documentaries like that or poems like this is we can think it's all about someone else, but it's about us. I was really struck by that in what you said. And that if we don't push it away from us as if it were other and include it in our ordinary sense of living, which is one of the things that our wider culture has robbed us of a lot. There's all kinds of reasons why we encourage ourselves and are encouraged to stay far from this recognition. And we've put death and dying outside of the realms of ordinary everyday life, and we don't have good rituals for them, most of us. And but if we can have it be close in, because it's simply just an ordinary and extraordinary part of the human condition that we arrive and we're in these shining, luminous bodies looking out at the world and then we're gone, then maybe we could feel into this line that you're drawing attention to that really, really touched me as well, which is one day you'll know why I read the poetry of your grief to those waiting to be born and they're all the more excited. There's something absolutely exquisite and beautiful and incredibly sacred about being able to be ones who can feel and who can see all of this. And who, and that we can invest. There's something very resonant and sacred about all of Andrea's words here. I think that what they do is they draw attention to the intimacy of life, like the intimacy of everyday experience and the intimacy of loving other people as friends and as partners and as family, and the intimacy of the way that we carry one another inside ourselves. It's absolutely extraordinary. And yes, it's full of pain and full of joy, but what it is always full of is wonder. It's so unlikely. It's so unlikely. And so why wouldn't the unborn be all the more excited? And what I think our risk is to misunderstand and to treat this very sacred, very wondrous ordinariness or ordinariness as if it were something to be denied, pushed away from. And in order to do that, we have to go to a sleep to ourselves and a sleep to one another. And so to escape the intensity of this that Andrea is talking about, the only way to do that is to leave our lives to some extent, to live our lives whilst leaving them, which seems to me such a mistake and so easy and obvious to do at the same time. Like I so understand why we all do this. So it's a wonder to have a conversation like this and also to have words like Andrea's, which keep on saying to us, look, 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 look. Don't forget, look, don't forget. Last thing just occurs to me at this point is there's something really extraordinary going on in this poem, because one of the reasons why we check out of the feeling of our own lives is our fear of our own deaths, but it's also the fear that we won't be able to bear the loss of the ones that we love, who inevitably we know at some level we'll lose too, because we'll all lose one another. So if we can carry one another in the way that Andrea invites, whilst we're living, and whilst our loved ones are living, and when they're gone, we invest everyone's presence with a kind of luminous closeness that we know is true, because I know I can hold you in me when I don't see you and you're living now. We can do this for one another. We always carry one another inside ourselves. And I now we've read this to one another a few times now, Lizzie, in preparing for this particular conversation. Maybe it's the thing we must most do in order to be alive.
Yeah, I'm feeling this beautiful possibility, Justin, of treating one another this way whilst we're still able to embody. I was just feeling what it is to know that it's true that I am walking the chambers of your heart, pressing my palms to the soft walls of your living. Like you said, that is what's happening anyway. As we live in human experience, I'm experiencing you inside of me and you are experiencing me inside of you. And that will ever be true, whether I have a body or I don't have a body. And so what is it to be in relationship like this with everyone in our lives, and to know that this is what's happening, this is what human connection and relationship is made of, is all of this happening now. And that every kiss planted on someone's cheek is a perennial. And I saw a film once, and there was a woman who was dying, and it was a kind of sci-fi weird thing, but there was one piece of it that I really enjoyed, where she called her mum when she was dying, and she said, "Mum, I can feel every kiss that you ever gave me all over my body." That's what kind of came back to her as she was transitioning from having a body to not having a body, and how all of our somehow everything that we've done, even if we can't remember it in our kind of normal sense of memory, belongs in us somewhere. And it belongs in our experience. So the body doesn't take that with it or something and then carry on experiencing the experiencer, the experience happening is itself something, which I think is really what is possible to understand, given how Andrea's writing, is that there is something beyond this physical experience that is our experiencing. And I don't know how to talk about consciousness, and I don't know how to talk about the nature of being, but it makes so much sense to me that, like, we don't really go anywhere because we're all within each other. And that's true for me with anyone who I have been bodily separated from, because their body gave up working, or something happened where their body wasn't able to be here anymore. I know when I close my eyes and feel, they're no farther away from me than they were when they were here. And so I think I'm feeling the call to be with the people that I love in this way now, and just to take some time to know that this is the nature of things, that this connectedness goes beyond everything, and that there's a kind of experiencing that's not to do with my bodily experiencing, but it's to do with my consciousness or my experiencing self that is in relationship. That's the truth of being relationship. It's me and my consciousness in relationship with you, not only my body. And obviously my body is an incredible way. I have language, I have touch, I have all my senses and that kind of physical proximity and physical contact, and but that I can practice being in relationship without those things, purely my own experience. Because that is true. And in that place, it's also so easy to be loving. It's so easy to hold the people in my life there and be genuinely loving. And I think that's what's so moving about Andrea's gift of these words as well, is it feels like love to me. Like so generous and so forgiving and so all gently acknowledging all of the things and being open and soft and saying yes. There's forgiveness in it. There's closeness in it. There's kindness, like ordinary bodily everyday kindnesses in it. Opening of eyelids and the catching when we fall and the knowing that there's a fear that I might never wake up feeling lighthearted again. So there's kind of humanity woven with angelic love, it feels to me. I'm just so grateful for this writing and for Andrea and for the film that they made together with Meg. And it's such an important message that doesn't ever get really told. And I'm thinking, Justin, I know you and I both love the film Truly, Madly, Deeply. One of my favorite films. And in some way, that I think this is the same thing that makes me feel all these feelings. It's in there as well, which is that we don't suddenly get to be alone or something. But that's not the nature of life. It's much different than that.
For anyone who hasn't seen Truly, Madly, Deeply, I want to recommend it so wholeheartedly. Oh. It's also a film about what happens when we can't let go of the physical presence of another person and the consequences of that. So there's a letting go that's implied in Andrea's poem here. It's such a welcome to let go and also to stay close at the same time. As you've been talking, Lizzie, I've been thinking a lot about the importance of our imaginations, there's something so necessary and real about our imaginative capacity. Like when I'm not with you and you're a dear, dear friend who I love and care about very deeply, when I'm not in conversation with you, present with you, there's an imaginative faculty I can bring to having you live inside me. It doesn't just happen. It requires my intention and my participation to let myself feel your presence in my life. And there are so many different ways that I can do that as well. I can hold you in me with a generous kind of attention. I could hold you in me with a fearful kind of attention. I could be dismissive or honoring. Like, the way in which you are in me also has to do with me. It's not like only a sort of ghostly visitation. I'm playing my part, which is also true of what we actually do in relationship with one another when we're with one another. So what it's like for me to be with you now is as much my imagination about being with you as it is whatever's happening with you. And I think that these words are also an invitation and a reminder that the world is much more than just what we can reduce it to if we think about the world as a great big machine or just as particles bumping into one another. The world is made from how we make it in ourselves and between ourselves. So Andrea's invitation in this extraordinary poem is to carry those we have loved inside us and keep them alive as well as feeling them alive, and to keep them alive in very particular ways. And it hadn't occurred to me until we're having this conversation now that what we do for the dead and for the living are the same things. Like, the world we make with one another is contingent upon the way in which we hold one another inside one another, whether the ones we love still have bodies and can talk to us directly, or whether they we encounter them in this more intimate inner way. That's how we make the world with the living too. It's not just about death, and it's not just about grief. It's about how we'll be together inside us.
Yeah. It was so sweet, kind of this feeling of intimacy, that there's a way that we can be with one another that's, as you say, our own intentionality. And I'm feeling, I don't know what it is, like a kind of, maybe it's a comfort that we're not kind of powerless in this whole thing. You know, when something happens, we also have power. If somebody dies close to us, we have power. We're not just cast out in a kind of, on some terrible sea, although that might be part of it, that we have some intentionality that we can bring, and we can create intimacy with someone, as you say, on this, in this inner way that's real and true, because it was always there already. And of course, if it wasn't there, we wouldn't be able to have it now if it wasn't there before. So I'm feeling really supported by this, and feeling the generosity of it. And I think this is like the first time I've cried my way through Turning Towards Life, Justin. And I just want to thank Andrea, and I want to thank Meg, and I want to thank all the people who made that film possible that led us to this source. And I want to thank us for being able to feel these places and be together in it, and to allow ourselves the extraordinary luxury of feeling life this way. And I want to thank everyone for being here with us. And maybe this gets to find its way a little bit more around the world now we've shared it with everyone, Justin, as well. I love the feeling of that, and the holding of our Turning Towards Life community as well. It's amazing. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, everyone who's behind this coming forth. Andrea's parents, my goodness, and their parents. And we'll see you next week for another episode of Turning Towards Life.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone.